Praise the Lord. You're reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we are preparing for Christmas. The 4 weeks of Advent represent the 4,000 years or the entire age of expectation, awaiting, the whole world awaiting a Redeemer. God had promised that He would send a Messiah, a Redeemer, to liberate mankind, humanity, from all evil. And this had been promised, the promise had been repeated in various ways, in various religions, and especially in the Bible. We are studying the messianic prophecies. We have seen the first prophecy in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15. God promising victory for humanity over the powers of evil. The seed of woman will crush the head of serpent. The second prophecy we analyzed was the covenant. The first covenant God made not only with the humanity but with the entire universe, a cosmic covenant. God made the covenant with Noah and all those that came out of the ark after the flood. The flood marked the end of the first creation. And after the flood, we are introduced to a new creation, where the lifespan of humanity is reduced or limited to 120 years. God has accepted the fact that the inclinations of humanity is towards evil, the evil tendency, the inborn evil in humanity is being accepted. And God promises that He will not destroy the world for the sin of man, of sin of humanity. So apparently we would have an age of peace, tranquility, and the reign of good after all the evil had been washed out in the waters of the great flood. But sin continues. Sin continues to create evil, and that through one of the sons of Noah. Noah, after the flood, started cultivating. And we read from the book of Genesis, chapter 9, verses 20 and following. Noah, a man of the soil, was the first to plant a vineyard. He drank some of the wine and became drunk, and he lay uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brothers outside. Then Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on their shoulders, and walked backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan, lowest of slaves shall he be to his brothers." He also said, "Blessed by the Lord, my God be Shem, and let Canaan be his slave. May God make space for Japheth, and let him live in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his slave." Three brothers, one of them reduced to slavery to the others, and Shem given the highest blessing. The evil continues. Here, now it continues through the form of drunkenness, alcohol, and all the evil that comes from it. One word that is being repeated again and again is nakedness. That is the effect of sin, nakedness and shame. We saw it already in the paradise. They were naked, but they were not ashamed of each other, it was said. But after having committed the crime, committed the sin, eating the fruit that was forbidden, they felt that they were naked and they felt shame. Nakedness, shame, somehow depict the situation of humanity that has turned away from God. Now Noah, who was the just man, under the power of alcohol, become naked and becomes a cause of sin for his very son. And the son is being cursed. So now the curse and blessing continues. As in the first stage, Cain and Abel, or Cain and Seth, here Cam and Shem, two sons of Noah, one carrying curse, the other carrying blessing. After this, we have the whole genealogy of shame leading up to one particular individual, that is Abraham. The first 11 chapters of Genesis, we said, belong to a particular type of literature. It's primeval history, history interpreted in the light of faith, or it's a theology of history, so to say. How evil entered the world, how evil is continuing in the world and propagating itself, spreading, and how God is responding to this evil. In chapter 11 of this book of Genesis, we come to another episode that somehow marks the beginning of the shattering of unity and scattering of people over the whole world. That is the Tower of Babel. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon the plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves." Building a city with a tower reaching up to heaven. According to the cosmology of that time, heaven is considered as a tent, as a hemisphere, over the vault of which God was residing. The house of God was over the vault, that is the heaven or the sky. Now, the people here, they want to build a tower that reaches up to heaven, meaning becoming equal to God or even higher. That is the first temptation in the paradise. Eat this fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like gods. Now, the humanity continues again to be like God or to be more than God, denying God. That is the Tower of Babel. Now, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the mortals had built. People were trying to build up a tower that reaches up to heaven, but now God had to come down to see the tower. The so big tower that people thought, but such a puny thing for God. He came down to see. The Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. This is how the primeval story ends, history of the beginnings. People scattered over the face of the earth without hope of coming together. A shattered humanity scattered people. And into this scattered humanity, God enters again. We have here, after this story, a genealogy, a list of genealogy, list of generations that lead us from Shem to another person, Abraham, with whom God begins anew. In chapter 12, we have already read the call of Abraham. Abraham was a son of Terah, who had left Ur. He wanted to go to Canaan, but on the way he settled in Haran. After the father Terah died, God appeared to Abraham. God appeared to Abraham and called him out. Now the Lord said to Abraham, chapter 12, verses 1 and following, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house." Go from here. Get out of here. God is calling a person out of the situation in which he was in. He wants to make a new beginning. As if he is plucking out a plant and planting it somewhere else, Abraham is taken out. Taken out of a humanity, a scattered, dispersed humanity, and with him, God wants to start anew. A new beginning. And here we have the real beginning of the history of salvation. The initiative is from God's part. God comes into the life of an individual, calls him by name, encounters him, and puts some demands on him. The first thing God asks is to come out. An exodus, a God of exodus, a God who takes the person out of the situation in which one is in. Whatever be the situation of oppression, situation of sin, situation of sadness, sorrow, slavery, God takes the person out. That's what God wants to do with every human being, with the entire humanity, call out of the sadness and depression and sin. Go from your country. Three places are mentioned here. From your country, your kindred, and your father's house. Country is the widest idea that gives a person an identity, the country. I, for example, an Indian, have an identity as an Indian and a passport, Indian passport. When I am abroad, I'll be known as a person coming from India, holding an Indian passport. Whenever I enter into a new country, I had to get a visa and make the application, registration, everything with my passport as an Indian, the identity that somehow keeps me as a citizen in the world. Abraham is asked to burn his passport, first of all. Lose the identity, lose the country, leave the country. He had to get some other identity. The first, go from your country. Then comes the tribe, the kindred, that gives him security. He belongs to a tribe, and especially those times, the tribal unity was so strong, and a person finds his identity and protection in the tribe. Now, God is asking Abraham to abandon, come out of the kindred, the tribe. And then finally, the father's house, the closest circle, that gives him security, protection, care, love and concern, the father's house. God is asking Abraham to leave that also. Abandon everything, come out of your existence. Now Abraham has to abandon everything that gave him security, that gave him a sense of identity, sense of belonging, and now left without anything. Except the one who calls him, come out or go out. And that is not the end. Come out, but to a particular zeal, a goal, a target. Go out to the land that I will show you. He has to leave his country, his kindred, and his father's house, and go to the place, the land that I will show you. God has not shown yet. Here comes a new concept, land. And this is going to be to dominate the entire story of the patriarchs, continuing into the Exodus, and even to the New Testament, the land, the promised land. God is giving a promise. God is showing a land. Abraham doesn't know where that land is. Abraham doesn't know how to get to that land. He knows only God is asking him to get out and to go to an unknown place through untraversed path. He doesn't know the destination. He doesn't know the way how to get there. He has only one command: go there. So this is how God intervenes into the history. He plucks him out and wants to plant somewhere. He doesn't know where. So this is a situation. Abraham is to give up. But that has a purpose. Why is it that God is calling Abraham out of his security and asking him to go to an unknown land? That comes the promise, a sevenfold promise. God, God of promise. Here comes the promise. I will make you a great nation. That's the first thing. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Sevenfold blessing. So the first is blessing. God blesses. Canaan, or the father of Canaan, Ham, was cursed because of sin. Now God wants to reverse this curse of humanity. God wants to bless not only Abraham, not only his descendants. The purpose of God's call is to bless the entire universe, all humanity. So the sevenfold blessing can be focused on this one particular blessing. And that is the last. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham is to be a blessing for the whole world. God is going to start a new history of salvation, in which he wants to reverse the curse and bless everyone. For that, Abraham should be a channel. Abraham and the descendants that God would give him. You will be a father of a great nation. After this, God adds one more blessing, that is the land. I'll give you the land. So now God is asking Abraham to go to the land that he will show. And once Abraham is in that land, God will tell him again and again, I'll give this land to you and to your descendants. So the blessings given or promised to Abraham can be reduced into three. The first, he will have a descendants. He'll be a father of a great nation. A nation is to come out of Abraham, the promised nation, the people of God. And these people of God are promised a land, the promised land. And both this, the nation and the land, are leading to the most important blessing, that is the blessing for the whole world. So the purpose of God's call is universal salvation. And this promise is depending on the response of Abraham. God is making the proposal, and the person has to make his response. How did Abraham respond? In just simple word, the Bible tells us, verse 4 of chapter 12, so Abraham went as the Lord had told him. Abraham went. Abraham obeyed. God called, Abraham obeyed. And this is the beginning of a journey, a pilgrimage of a believer who has nothing to depend upon except the word of God, the promise of God. The God of Abraham is a God of promise. The God of Abraham is a God who guides, who leads, who goes ahead through unknown paths to unknown destination. He is always ahead, like a shepherd leading the sheep, the God of Abraham leading Abraham and his descendants. God appears again and again to Abraham, and he repeats the promise. But there was always problems with this promise. Abraham was promised that he would have many children, great descendants. But the Bible tells us that Abraham was old and his wife, Sarah, was barren. Abraham was 75 years old when he was called, and 10 years younger, Sarah. They traveled all through the land of Canaan, carrying the promise, with a firm belief that God would fulfill the promise, but never knowing when and how. There were dangers or risks endangering the promise. When there was a famine in the land of Canaan, Abraham decided to go to Egypt. There the promise was endangered. Sarah was taken by Pharaoh soldiers and taken to the harem of Pharaoh. The promise given to Abraham was in danger. The would-be mother of the nation was, so to say, kidnapped by the ruler of the land. But God came to assist, protect. The promises of God will be fulfilled in spite of all the dangers. But the faith of Abraham had to be matured, and he had to wait with a firm belief that what God promised will come to fulfillment. God's promise to Abraham was repeated again and again. And in this repeated promise, one word stands out conspicuously, that is offspring, seed, your seed. And this somehow harks back to 3:15 of Genesis. I'll put enmity between you, the woman, you and the woman, between her seed and your seed, and he will crush your head. So the word seed, offspring, is repeated again and again in the promise, somehow pointing to that particular person, the seed of the woman. The promise going through Abraham to be fulfilled in a particular individual. And God makes this promise through a covenant. In chapter 15 and chapter 17 of the book of Genesis, we are told that God made a covenant with Abraham. And as a part of this covenant, God gave Abraham a new name. Chapter 17, we read, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I'll make my covenant between me and you, and will make you exceedingly numerous. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abraham, but your name shall be Abraham. Abraham, Abiram, my father is great, exalted, is the old name. Now he is given a new name, Abraham, Abraham, father of a nation. So now he is given a new name with a call, the promise intensified that you are going to be the father of a great nation. Not only the people of Israel, the entire universe, the entire world, humanity, that is going to be blessed by God, will be considered as the children of Abraham. Later on in the New Testament, Paul would argue that all those who are born of Abraham are not children of Abraham, and those who are not physically born of Abraham are also children of Abraham. What is important is to be the heirs of promise that is given through the covenant. So God promised that God would give him a descendants, a great nation, and God fulfilled that promise. In spite of all the risks and dangers that promise went through, Sarah had thought that she was unable to bear a son and gave her handmaid Sarah was barren and gave her handmaid Hagar, the Egyptian slave, from whom Abraham had the son Ishmael. But God did not accept Ishmael as the heir, as the legitimate heir of the promise. The legitimate heir was to be born of Sarah. And in the time God appointed, Sarah gave birth to a child, and they called him Isaac. The name Isaac has a particular meaning. It means he loved, Isaac. And with the connected with the birth of Isaac, there's a lot of story about laughing. When Abraham was 99 years old, God said, "You are going to have a son," and he fell on his face and laughed. The same promise was repeated to Sarah, and she laughed. Then God said, "Why is Sarah laughing? Is anything impossible for God?" Sarah said, "No, I did not laugh." "No, you did laugh," God said to her. Laughed, did not laugh, laugh. Laughter is an expression of happiness and joy. So this son, Isaac, is going to be the source of joy and happiness, not only for Abraham and Sarah, but for the entire humanity, Isaac. Isaac is the son of promise. Isaac is the source of blessing. God gave Abraham the son, and there we have the partial fulfillment of the promise. In you and through your descendant, the whole world, the entire humanity will be blessed. So the blessing continues from Abraham through Isaac and then through his descendants, coming to the last son, the son of Abraham, Jesus of Nazareth, in whom we have the fulfillment. Jesus Christ is known as the son of Abraham. Matthew writing his gospel starts saying, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of Abraham, son of David. Jesus, the son of Abraham. Jesus, the fulfillment of the promise God gave to Abraham. And this promise will continue through various risks and trials and tribulations, but it is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. As we are preparing for the celebration of that fulfillment, now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for not abandoning the humanity to its sin and death and destruction. Even when sin continues in various forms, your grace abounds more than the sin. Your love is stronger than our sin. And your blessing overcomes all the curses that fell upon us. Father, we thank you for your plan of salvation, calling us out of our misery through Abraham and his descendants. As we are preparing ourselves to celebrate the birth of your Son, enable us to understand your plan of salvation. Open our hearts to your love. Open our ears to your call. Enable us to obey and to believe as Abraham believed and to obey it. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.